bravery, struggle, and fighting for the rights and fighting against oppression. This is something that is embedded within the teachings of the Holy Quran. As such, my dear brothers and sisters, Quran, apart from being a book of knowledge, a book of understanding, a book of, information about the past and the future, about, the reality of this life and of the afterlife, it is not just that. Rather, it is something that brings about movement, sparks and ignites some change. And that is the actual thing that gives Quran its value. And if the people are able to take it and use it in that way, then definitely the Quran will be something that will be guiding the whole of mankind in each and every aspect. And of course, since it is from Allah, then definitely the progress will be achieved.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, what was the work of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Many people might, argue that the Prophet's work, the Prophet's, his task sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to teach and propagate and, spread knowledge. But if you look at the riwayat and the narrations that we have, and you look at the verses of the Quran, you will realize that the Prophet's actual duty was to bring about life and change in the society, to bring about true life, to bring about a change, a magnanimous change that will bring life. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum, that respond to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that will give you life, that will bring change, that will blow the spirit of life within the society. And that is what the Prophet actually wanted. On the other hand, we had, for example, the culture, the lavish culture that was there amongst certain Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the coming of Islam, and the culture around from the Roman and Persian empires. This culture was a detrimental and destructive culture for Islam, and it was something that was bringing about changes that were not likable for the Quran. But on the other hand, when the Quran, comes into the society, when it is because the Muslims accepted it, then we see that this acceptance of the Book of God, causes a life to be blown inside the community. And the community begins to be aware of things, is able to search for their purpose in life, try to struggle in that direction. And all of this because of God's influence within them. We can see that such individuals and such people who keep the Quran like that are able to create that change in themselves. Inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to give the Quran its rightful value in our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد.
مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Hello everyone and welcome to the light. Let's begin with an artistic spirit. Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoch, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings. An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. It is now well-established facts that animals feel, think, behave, and even experience pain. Thus, they should be treated with the same respect as humans, while a center in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo is doing the same. Life-saving services to injured apes. The sanctuary, located in a vast national park, has been active for 2 decades. The center houses scores of chimpanzees, gorillas, and endangered great apes. Bonobos and bonobos as well. Most of the animals that are brought to the sanctuary were rescued from poachers. The staff there provide medical care to the injured animals until they are healthy enough to be integrated into a group of their fellow species.
Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbe Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf. Last but not least, the 16th Fajr International Poetry Festival has wrapped up with an award ceremony in Tehran. The literary event aims to honor Persian poets from Iran and the world with the ultimate goal of elevating Persian poetry. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's an occasion to honor poets and poetry. The 16th edition of Fajr International Poetry Festival saw its closing ceremony in Tehran, where the best Persian poetry works of the year were acknowledged and awarded. During the event, participants from Iran and other countries contended in different categories, including classic poetry, modern poetry, and children and young adults.
I won the prize for the best poetry book for children and young adults. My book is titled Silence in the Mother Tongue. I'm so glad that my effort is seen, judged, and acknowledged by top Iranian literary personalities from the jury of the festival.
Certainly, Fajr Poetry Festival is of great significance to me as an Afghan poet. Here, literary experts from Iran, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and many parts of the world can network and make joint efforts to promote the Persian language.
Iran is known as the land of poets, being home to many world-renowned literary figures over the centuries, including Rumi, Hafez, and Khayyam. Experts here believe Persian poetry has no expiry date, and not only do Iranians still read ancient poems, they're also interested in modern prose and poetry.
Poetry is a beautiful language that speaks the beauty of the world, and such a language always communicates very well with the hearts of human beings. Iranians have long understood the beauty of this language and still listen to it and read it in its every form and genre.
Fajr International Poetry Festival was launched in 2006 as a platform for Persian poets from Iran and other Persian-speaking countries to get together for the elevation of Persian poetry. However, the literary event has grown to encompass non-Persian poets who are interested in Iranian literature.
Poetry holds a special position among Iranians, and you can rarely find an Iranian family that doesn't have a poetry book in their bookshelves. Now, aside from acknowledging Persian literary figures and poets, Fajr Festival seeks to preserve this long-standing culture and introduce it to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Color, beauty, and entertainment. The French city of Nice hosts a dazzling and flashy event. The so-called Battle of the Flowers took place on Saturday. Performers on top of animal-themed floats waved at the crowd and threw flowers at the audience while musicians played live. Each of the 16 floats was decorated with around 3,000 flowers. Also, thousands of people attended the event. The Battle of the Flowers is part of the carnival in Nice, which has been held annually for almost 150 years. An endangered Mediterranean monk seal has embarked on a new solo adventure after spending months under the care of conservationists. Four-month-old Evie was released back into the wild on February 15th in northern Greece. Evie was rescued when she was only 7 days old. She had been washed ashore and separated from her nursing mother during a storm. However, conservationists found the lucky seal and started taking care of her. Even though Evie's health was poor, she recuperated quickly.
She was really dehydrated in the beginning, which is very common with pups that separate from their mothers at such an early age. And the first few weeks were critical for her health because there's basically no way to replenish, like to replace the mother's milk. So we have a certain protocol and a food regimen that we provide along with vitamins and other supplements to the seal. And thankfully, in the first few weeks, she showed signs of her health status became better.
The conservationists hope Evie will be able to join a community of her species soon. They will be tracking her movements with a chip. There are only a few hundred Mediterranean monk seals left in the wild. About half of them live in Greece. Entrapment from fishing, pollution, depletion of food resources, and climate change are some of the threats facing the species.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza.
The City of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Mehsan Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century, performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west, a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the Simurgh is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix of fusion of different music, and that's always interesting. And it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences, between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, that through things like music and art, there can also be synergy and, things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Axolotls are unique Mexican amphibians at risk of extinction, and many conservation programs are now trying to save these strange-looking animals. An ecological park in Mexico City is the latest place to celebrate them. It has held a ceremony for releasing baby axolotls into their natural habitat, which is the mud. These amphibians are so special that even a number of city officials attended the event. Conservationists say having a clean environment is key to their survival.
I've managed to breed up to 22,000 axolotls. In all of Joshimilco, there are 90 axolotls across 90 kilometers, but the quality of the axolotls depends on the quality of biologist you are. Bad quality water has killed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000.
Researchers have discovered that axolotls can absorb oxygen from the surface of their skin and are therefore more vulnerable to dirty water and environments. More than 70 breeding centers across Mexico have joined the rally of saving these critically endangered species. Many are even marketing them as ideal pets. But to animal advocates, keeping axolotls as pets is a definite no-no.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojiza kardid. Millat Iran, millat mojiza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and as I say, changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated and devoted to the life of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. We're discussing some very interesting points with my guest, Dr. Hassani, on, you know, why aren't there more Imam Khomeinis? Of course, Islam came to perfect humanity. And there's one very interesting aspect which really is a phenomenon not understood from a materialistic point of view. And I myself, personally, am witness to this. I didn't know anything about this great man. I never understood anything about this great man. I didn't know one iota of where this man was born.
I hate to say you to this. I have to admit it. We still don't know about so many
important
things.
Thank you for that, Doctor. I don't wish to make...
I don't just say that to be humble. Or
no. We genuinely mean that because, yes, as I say, even to this day, why are we having these programs? Because we want to go into depth about a man that perhaps we still know very little or nothing about. But the thing that I wanted to point out was that I was 16 at the time, and the first impact that this gentleman made on me... As a teenager, was that I was reminded of prophets in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't come really from an Islamic background. I came from a more or less a Christian background. And I was impressed by the fact that this is the first time in the 20th century, or in a long time, for many generations, that's the first time I've seen a personality that really, really reminded me both of Allah and of his prophets. But the most important thing I felt was love. I felt I had to know this man. I felt I had to leave my home country 4,500 miles away. I may be exaggerating the distance. I don't know. It may be 5,000 miles. It depends on your flight and how you get to Tehran. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I had to come here. I had to come to the very land, the very country in which this man was born to find out what was this thing that he placed into my soul, into my heart, that made me love him. Can you explain something about that for me, Dr.
Yes,
Hassani?
Yes, honesty.
Honesty.
His honesty.
Yeah. Honesty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Let's not get sophisticated, complicated.
Sure.
Let's not get entangled with words.
Sure.
He was honest. Ask me with whom.
With whom, yeah.
With himself first.
Exactly.
He knew himself.
And if you know yourself, you know your creator.
And if you know yourself, you know your
Creator.
There's a hadith.
Yes, that's right.
Man arafa nafsa.
Please quote it.
Faqad arafa rabba. But I have to make a point about this.
Please.
Very important and significant tradition. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that unfortunately, I say this with the bottom of my heart. Mm-hmm. As a Muslims, we have all the values,
mm-hmm. quite
the sources, the true sources mm-hmm. of knowing and enjoying the beautiful life that God gave us. We don't use it to the level. All the traditions, all the, you know, the Quranic verses, we only get a piece of it, maybe the beginning, we forget about the end, or vice versa. Mm. And we don't think about that.
Well,
brother, the only difference between us, just like I mentioned in the other program,
sure.
and different creation, different creatures, mm-hmm. is the power of thinking in a true sense. This is why Quran, talking about fikr, talking about aql, talking about tadabbur, which is different level of thinking.
Thinking.
In order to think, you have to become quiet first.
Yes.
You have to become silent. We have a tradition to mention this.
That's right.
How can you learn? How can you listen to something if you always talk?
Exactly.
You have to find an isolate place with yourself, which is within yourself, yes. actually. We're not talking about only material here.
No.
We're not talking about the physical aspect of being alone. Mm. You can be in a gatherer, but being alone, thinking about your own stuff. Mm. And you can be alone, but working with the universe, working with the creation.
Could I just throw something at you, just right there and then, that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, mentions that if you are in silence, as the silence that you refer to, which is a silence in which to acquire wisdom, do it for 40 days and it will pour out of you. In other words, we're not alone.
No, we're not.
You're alone with your Creator.
Exactly.
Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, I wanted to quote this from the Bible.
And if you are alone with your Creator, you are everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing about the prophets that I used to read about them in the Bible, that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, used to go away for 40 days and 40 nights, as it's quoted in the Bible, alone in the desert. For what? I mean, that's something that, you know, the Christians don't come back with.
As they say, something to think about.
Something to think about. Exactly. And he went to do his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where he poured out as the master, the teacher. When he came back to Jerusalem after those 40 days, that was the wisdom that was being quoted in the book.
He was a different person.
He was a totally different person.
He got the vision.
He got the vision.
When you get the vision, you get the mission. Imam is somebody with special, unique, divine mission. Back to the tradition. Man arafa nafsa.
Yes.
Those who get to know themselves, their true sense, which is soul, faqad arafa rabba. Most surely, they get to know their Lord, their sustainer, who happens to be a creator.
Exactly.
The point about this very significant tradition is this. This tradition is not talking about something about impossible. Because when you're talking about God, you say, oh, you cannot get to know him. Because he is infinite. How can a finite phenomena thing, material, whatever.
Well, this is what philosophers come up with, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not trying to get philosophical about it.
Yeah.
Not.
No.
This is not the point of this program.
No.
I'm trying to explain it as simple as possible. This is another, if you want to mention it down,
we'll do that.
Imam Khomeini was simple in a true sense. Yeah. The same way that Quran is simple. Quran talks to an ordinary person because Quran is, by the way, the book of guidance.
Yes.
Wants to take you from A to B without any damage.
Any damage. Without any... Yeah.
And at the same time, talking to ordinary person, but yet talking to the philosopher, to the historian, to whoever can understand a different level,
exactly.
a deeper one.
Yes.
The point about this tradition, you're not talking about something impossible. Because if you get to know yourself, you get to know your sustainer.
Sustainer.
So the point about it is this. How are you going to get to know yourself? Think about it. I make it simple for you. I'm a weak person. If I know my weakness, the opposite of it, which is not weakness, which is power, which is total might, okay? God Almighty, we claim. You get to know the power of Allah. If you get to know the power of Allah, you are not going to be scared, as simple as that, I put it. If you're not scared of something, so what? You take steps to do things. You're not scared. You can take risk. You can be brave enough to take action. Nobody, you know, if they threaten you with sanction or they say, as they say, this is a joke. Everything, all the options on the table. All this is another program. Yeah, you know, we talk about
yeah, all options on the table.
On the Islamic awakening and ethical freedom.
They don't have anything on the
table.
Not,
I mean, if you have something concrete, if you have something solid, you know, you don't constantly threaten somebody with it. You just do it.
You just do it.
You just come out and do it.
Exactly. I mean, that's...
Well, they do. The thing is that they forget that our option is on the table at the same time.
That's right.
And our option is something way, way different than theirs, which is, we're talking about God here. Mm. Somebody you can rely on, somebody you can trust, and somebody who can do anything possible. So if you get to know yourself with weakness, you get to know him with great power. If you get to know yourself with lack of knowledge, you have to open a parenthesis, you know, to remember, then close the parenthesis.
Yes.
If you get to know yourself that you don't have the knowledge of everything, then you know your sustainer knows everything.
Everything.
And now Alim, he's the most knowledge one. Exactly. Brother, all these words, this is not words. This is a reality.
That's right. I mean,
when you say God is Sami, it doesn't mean something that, you know, you think about material. God is not material.
No.
It means that he can hear everything.
Yeah.
He created everything.
To get back to the, you know,
to get to the point.
That about Imam's personality. And
Imam, I started with saying he was honest.
Right. I want to get to that point. That honesty that created that love in my
heart. And he was
honest
about himself. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. I mean, that honesty that, as you quite rightly say, about himself, again, triggered or made us rejuvenated about something we had forgotten.
It has started our engine, our motor.
Exactly. And that motor was not that it was the love of Imam, but it was to...
Very good point. You love Imam because of something else.
Yeah, exactly. Because it had brought you back to your creator.
The credit goes to somebody else.
Somebody else. Because you're reminded...
Let's not forget.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate things.
No.
It doesn't mean like that.
No.
Because we have a tradition again. Man lam yashkur al makhluq, lam yashkur al khaliq. Those who don't appreciate the creation of God, most surely they don't appreciate The creator. This is an obvious thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to challenge
that. And as you say, that simplicity, that honesty really
I have to emphasize, I have to underline.
Yeah.
In a true sense.
Yes.
Because when you say something simple, remember when Imam was coming back from Paris after 15 years in
exile?
Right.
Yes.
He's in the plane sitting, you know.
Yeah.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we look through the window of the plane. This journalist,
John Simpson,
ask him, what is your feeling? He says nothing. You know how many wrong interpretation they took out of this?
Oh, yes.
Let me explain that. When he said nothing, it means that I don't submit myself to some particular thing that if it changes, I would become ballistic about it. Think about what I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything happens, hey, what is your feeling after 15 years or whatever, returning to your homeland? Nothing. Because I think about God. God is all the feeling.
Exactly.
God is all the mean. God is all the goal. You see, you get my point?
Well, that's exactly what we want to get to. That this beautiful personality was reminding us, because he, for the 20th century, became not the Imam of the Islamic Republic of Iran, but he became the representative for us.
By the way, he was Iranian. Only Iranian should love him.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting to.
He was Muslim. Only Muslim should love him.
But let me finish my point.
But that's not the case.
But that's not the case.
Please, I'm
because,
listening.
Because the letter that went to John Paul II, the Pope of the second
that's
biggest...
That's a different story.
Story, but we'll get to that. But the Pope... the leader of the second most dominant religious grouping, if you like, in the world, Catholicism, he writes a letter to them, and even the Pope has to be reminded that he's supposed to be representing God on earth.
That he should have a divine mission.
A divine mission.
Don't
that he should
it.
Have a divine mission.
Exactly.
And because the love that Imam Khomeini brought for so many people throughout the world.
True love.
Was the love of the reminder of the Creator.
Creator. This is the whole point.
And that's what we're
getting
to.
And we can go on forever.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the perfection we are looking for.
Exactly. Where are you coming from? Where you are in? What the situation? What is the situation? And where are you going to?
So, Dr. Husni, give us the manual now from the Imam's personality.
This is a good word, manual.
Yeah, the manual from the Imam's personality.
I like that.
Give us it in terms of that perfection, because of course he's written books on this subject.
The reason I'm saying that, brother, because you know I'm listening to the words you're using. Mm. This one was a good one.
Yeah,
brother, because I see Quran as a manual for humankind.
Yeah,
you know, just like, you know, I can give you another example, a factory which makes whatever,
yeah,
appliances,
sure,
you know, electronics, whatever. Let's say Sony and Sanyo, okay? They make these TVs and whatever.
Yeah.
For every device, they print a particular manual.
Yeah.
And no two factories makes a manual for a different one, okay?
That's right. Quran
is a manual.
Yeah, Sony won't build for
and
JVC.
And vice versa.
JVC or Sanyo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imam Khomeini's manual is learning Quran, get to know God, and follow the path.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahu.
But we want to get back to this love aspect of Imam Khomeini. Who puts that love there?
God.
Why?
Why? Because there is a holy tradition. There is a hadith Qudsi.
Right.
Holy
tradition. So there's nothing complicated about this.
No, I make it simple for you.
Right.
I read it. Mm-hmm. I translate it. I'm trying to explain it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then we understand. God says to his holy prophet in a holy tradition. It says, Kunto kanzan makhfiyan. God talking about himself.
Right.
I was a hidden treasure.
Treasure, yes. From Hadith Qudsi, yes.
Fa'ahbabto. I love to. I like to. To be
known,
to be recognized. As simple as that. Love comes from Allah.
But it's important because in the
English... You know why? Because in the English if it wasn't for love, if it wasn't for likeness, there is no reason to live. Because we're not solid.
Sure.
We're not rock. Mm. We have to have some certain feelings.
I think for our listeners, we have to mention the point here, though, that the Arabic is much more sophisticated than just saying in
and
English.
And it takes time to explain it.
Yeah, just to say that he wanted to be known, that's not because of a need.
He loved to. He liked to.
Yeah, it's because of the fact that, you know, he has the power to bring things into existence.
And
that existence is the perfection of that creator.
Exactly.
So that is the point we want to make here. That this,
and this is a favor he gave us.
This is a favor.
This is a favor.
That's it. Thank you for that. And I wanted to get back to that point that you mentioned before about knowing Quran. Because Imam Khomeini says in that Hukumat Islami, he says, Quran was being recited by beautiful singers and parrot fashion.
Mm-hmm.
1400 years? What's going on? Why parrot fashion? Why does Imam make such a claim in his book? Because at the end of the day, not knowing this book has been the problem. That has been the source of our troubles for the last 1400 years. And he brought back the true reading of the Quran. Even he's pointed out the fact that those schools of thought that claimed to know something about the Quran were erroneous in what they were doing.
And
because of the fact that they didn't have the key that was needed to take us towards that perfection.
The main key.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about.
When you talk about Quran, again, we're not talking about something, you know, we're not fantasizing.
Yeah, we're not fantasizing.
We have it. It's available.
Yeah.
You know, this is an example I give you sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate Quran. You know why?
No.
Because they send us to us free. It was sent to us free. Yes. We don't appreciate it. Anything free, just like, you know, we pollute the air. Yes. We don't pay for it.
Okay? But if we had to pay for it.
Having said that, I give you another example.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this particular copy of Quran was the very last Quran on earth and it was hidden in somewhere that you don't know?
Yeah.
How much you would pay to get back to it?
Or no,
have you ever thought about this?
Let's go into that. Let's go into that analogy. That's a very beautiful point you're picking up there. Again, you know, as you say, we don't give the value that needs to be, that deserves to be given. I mean, this has been a problem throughout our Muslim history. And I call it a black Muslim history. I'm sorry I use that word, but I have no option but to use this word. And the reason being,
and you're not trying to be pessimistic.
I'm simply using that word in the sense that we had valuable personalities.
Because here we're trying to realize the difficulties and throw a solution.
Yeah, these treasures. Like Imam Ali, that the Holy Prophet refers to as the gate of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And we threw it away.
And who is the key? Imam.
Imam. We threw it away. In Karbala, they were riding horses over the holy personality of Imam Hussein. That's a difficult thing for me to say. But the thing is that is the thing, as you quite rightly say, that is the price of this book that we don't appreciate. And this man says that whatever I have brought it to you from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I'd like to,
from the movement of Ashura. Yeah, this is one of...
Yeah, an important build-up in the personality of the Imam. I'd like to go into that tradition, that why this plays such an important part in the personality of the Imam, hopefully in the next session. But... definitely, this is a subject we need to speak about. But this simplicity, please tell us, Dr. Hasni, about how simple, because you lived in those times, how simple was Imam? Because I remember you mentioned to me in a conversation that, you know, he was speaking to the people, the bakers. He was talking about power politics to the bakers.
When he said the famous statement that American administration, cannot do a damn thing. Mm. He said it in a gathering with the Qomis bakers at the time.
That's the people of the city of Qom.
This is how respectful he was toward every single person. He didn't see him as something different. He said, I respect you because God created you. God put you on earth. And God put some certain connection between us. All the relationship that we should or we're supposed to have with each other.
Quite. And ask me
how he got it from.
Yeah, where he got it from.
From Quran.
Yes.
Again. Quran Islam. Talks, you know, he said God is powerful. Mm. We understand it very easy. And somebody that who wants to get into different level of the might, he can study it.
I want to throw something in here straight away.
Do you know how you become simple? Mm. When you have the true knowledge, Brother Ajaz. Think about what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know a lot of stuff, you're trying to pretend. You get so complicated. Fallacies comes from here.
But you're talking about humbleness.
That's another subject. If you are simple, you are humble, and vice versa.
Exactly.
This is not two different aspects, brother. Let me tell you another expression.
Please.
It says two persons are afraid of an empty gun. The one who is in front of the gun. He doesn't know. It's empty gun. He thinks
he's going to be killed.
He's going to be shot at. He's going to be killed. Mm. And the one who even has his own finger on the trigger, he knows there is no bullet in it. If the guy in front of him, jumps on him, what is he going to do? Nothing. He has no bullets. So two persons are afraid of one empty gun. This is when you don't have the true knowledge.
Exactly.
Then you fear. Okay?
Quite.
You have no power.
Very eloquently.
That's why you become simple. Yes. That's why you become humble. When you have a true knowledge. And true knowledge comes from the true source.
Let's continue this discussion into the next program. And we're going to look at...
God willing, we are going to.
Yeah.
If we get the chance, we are going to...
We'll look at other aspects of this simplicity, honesty, and the purity of intention. Mm-hmm. I want to go into this aspect.
Purity, that's a good subject also.
Yeah. So let's do that into the next problem. Thank you, listeners, for being on the for listening to us today. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And thank you for giving me a chance to do so.
No, that's all right, Doctor. You're welcome, Dr. Hasni. And may the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, brother.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to answer doubts and misconceptions from around the world on Islamic issues and Islamic principles. Like always, in our recent shows, we have invited Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary Schools. We'd like to welcome him to this show and say salam to him and inshallah start our discussion with him. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. It's a great pleasure for us. The question of the day that we want to ask it from the respected guest speaker of the show is about how to deal with our parents, even if they are not good in manners and they are not treating us in the right manner. So let's be more frank here. In case our parents are supposed to be bad-tempered, then what is our duty as a Muslim, as a duty bound, in order to treat them? So, Sheikhuna, the question says, the respected questioner wants to know what is his or her duty while he's in front of a parent and the parent actually does not observe moralities and to some extent, we can call it that he or she might be bad-tempered and they are not observing the rules and regulations of moralities and etiquettes. So can you please tell us what is the duty of a duty bound here to deal with parents of this condition, with parents with these conditions?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see that we have many verses of the Noble Quran and many narrations, and actually the rationality of human being support the idea that all of us should pay respect to our parents. There is no doubt about that, and maybe all religions and divine religion, they emphasize on the respect of the, to be respectful to our parents.
Yeah.
You see that because rationally speaking, they have a lot of right upon us, and we have no, right to disrespect our parents or to cause any, rude to them, not to be rude to our parents and not to bother our parents and to be, after all, respectful to our parents.
Yeah.
You see that if you look at the verses of Noble Quran, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to worship Him and not to worship anybody except Him, and to be benevolent to our parents.
Yeah.
It has been mentioned frequently into the verses of Noble Quran, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, to be noble, to have nice behavior and noblest behavior to our parents. For example, let me add another verse of Noble Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to ascribe any partner to Him, and to have noble behavior to your parents. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the importance of to be respectful to your parents, and He put it beside worshiping Him,
وَعْبُدُ
اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. You see that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to not ascribe any partner to Him is a most important elements in Islam.
True.
And exactly beside that, Allah immediately mentioned this point that وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. You see, it indicates the importance of to be, noble to your parents.
Very true.
And many other verses of the Noble Quran I can mention and recite it to you and to our listener, to our respected listeners. And from these verses, we understand that it doesn't matter whether your parents are religious or not, whether they are Muslim, Christian, Jew, or even, non-religious people, mm-hmm. maybe they are atheists, it doesn't matter. You should be respectful to your parents.
Very true.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. He didn't say that your parent should be, for example, Muslim or religious or any other religious. If they are pagan, they have no religion, you should be respectful to them.
Yeah,
see?
Very true.
And the respect of that is very important, in many other, for example, verses, وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. We recommended the human being, we emphasize on the importance of to be noble, to have noblest behavior to your parents.
Okay.
You can guess from these beautiful verses of Noble Quran, when you have some parents, they are, for example, they do not have nice behavior to their children, how should our behavior should be toward those parents? You see?
True.
Because first of all, we want to establish this point that from Quranic and Islamic perspective,
mm-hmm.
you should have best behavior toward your parents, even if your parents are not, nice people, even if they are not religious, if they have bad treatment.
So what we should do, Shaykhna, in case they are not religious, or whether they are religious or not, but they are not treating us as, let's say, their kids or their children in the right manner. So for, let's say, for once or two times or a couple of times, it is quite natural to tolerate. But when it exceeds the limits, so what is our duty then? Have to be silent and say nothing and just follow whatever is being said? So when they are treating us bad, this is one side. And this is a continuous action that look, it's, then it irritates the person. Person cannot tolerate for, let's say, constant times and consequently when it happens. And second, when they oblige you to follow the religion that they know and they do not let you to practice Islam, and they don't want you even to practice your own religion, whatever your religion is. So clarify our duty here in these two cases.
You know, we should, you know, separate between these two aspects of the discussion. When your parent, our parent, maybe they wanted to take us toward another religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse of the Noble Quran, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكْ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when your parents, you know, have kind of pressure upon you to worship another God beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should not obey them. Okay, and immediately he mentioned that وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Okay, you are not supposed to follow the order of your parents and to change your, you know, for example, divine religion. But after all, you should respect your parent and to have nice behavior toward them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You see that, but on the other hand, when your parent have, you know, bad behaviors towards you, for example, they cause trouble for you, they have, you know, maybe rude behavior towards you and so on and so forth, you should not, you know, have kind of reaction, negative reaction toward them. Rather, you should be respectful toward them, okay? Mm-hmm. Because in the verse of Noble Quran, we have, اتبع باللتي هي أحسن. Okay, when some people have negative behavior towards you, you should react them with a nice behavior. Okay, yeah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. If you have nice reaction toward those people who have negative reaction towards you, okay, in that case, everything would be changed. Mm. And they would change their behavior towards you and they have the nice behavior towards you. Okay?
Yeah, very true.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So after all, I want to mention this point that when your parents have wanted to ask and they ask you to change your religion and to not follow Islamic, the religion of Islam, you should not obey them. Mm-hmm. And you should have nice behavior toward them. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. On the other hand, when they have negative behavior, you know, bothering you, causing problem for you, in that case, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized on the point that you should have nice reaction and it's considered to be kind of reaction toward their behavior.
Okay, thank you. Jazakallah khair. So in case they invite us to another religion or they don't want us to practice Islam, so we are not allowed to follow them. And in case, again, they constantly are having bad behavior with us, then again, it is recommended. And we, Islam wants us to be more tolerant, and to actually to react them with nice behavior. So the question was, Sheikhuna, sometimes this bad behavior from their side has no stop, and then we cannot tolerate more than we have a sort of limited capacity. We cannot tolerate more. What do you recommend for those youngsters that are facing with such problems?
You know, we cannot react towards our parents okay, and doing some negative action toward the parent. It is not allowed, for example, to hit the parent or to have some kind of, you know, swearing at them or to be rude to our parents. We cannot do that.
True.
In any case, we cannot do that. It has been explicitly mentioned in the verse of Noble Quran and the narration that we are not allowed to do that, even if our parents have a